And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and welcome to another great day for Golf Talk right here on the 11th of February. We're getting ready on the PGA Tour for the Genesis Invitational, and we also on the Champions Tour can talk a little bit about the Chubb tournament that's taking place down in Naples, which would be a great place to be right about now for most of the country. So we got a lot of things to talk about. Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf will be joining us to talk a little bit about what happened last week at Pebble Beach, some real drama there, and some surprises. And we also have the Genesis Invitational, the Tiger Invitational, if you will, that has kind of taken on a whole new meaning and new influence on the PGA Tour. So a lot of things to get into. Frank Bassett, as always, in our Nashville studios. Frank, how are you doing today?
I didn't get my invitation to the Genesis Invitational.
I'm sorry about that.
Me too.
I wanted to play a pretty big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big deal. I know. A lot of fun out there. Our good buddy Roger.
At Riviera.
Laura's out there. Laura Bryan and Roger will be out there at the tournament. Lauren Gold, our buddy, will be out there. So they're all going
to Hey, Frank, who are those people? You're talking about people that no one even knows.
Roger Sarchet is a good friend of mine. Laura Bryan is a co-host on the show.
Well, man, that's fascinating.
If you listen to the show, Steve,
like you should be.
Exactly, you would know.
I was going to keep my mouth shut, but I just couldn't. I'm thinking Frank is name dropping people that no one cares about.
People love Roger and Laura and Lauren.
Oh yeah.
Well, the guy, the Sacker down here,
Frank's next door neighbor.
He's a great guy. Sacker.
Wow.
Great. Yeah. Yeah.
It's guys that Frank meets at the grocery store.
Yeah. You know, they're just Roger, golf Laura. Instructors.
a couple of people.
Hi, Steve Johnson.
Hey, we drop who we can drop. You know. There's Steve's voice. There's Stevie.
I couldn't
Stevie
help
Johnson.
Myself,
how you doing,
Tim.
Steve?
Tim, I'm sorry.
You couldn't hold back. You couldn't even hold back.
My head was exploding.
I told you to not talk till I introduced you, and you couldn't even contain yourself.
You know,
you just had to jump in
Sweeney.
There.
He's just like Sweeney.
Gosh. Just who's like that? Sweeney.
You've got to listen to the show.
Yeah.
These are regulars on the show.
They are.
Yeah. It's our little bit.
Like you.
Yeah, well,
you're a regular.
Semi-regulars.
Is it Mike Sweeney?
Well, now that you're here, Steve.
No,
it could be.
Dabo Sweeney.
There's a bunch of
Mike
Sweeneys.
Sweeney.
It's a whole family of Sweeneys.
There's Sweeneys everywhere. Out of Chicago.
Brendan, our good friend at French Lick Resort. Steve, have you ever been to French Lick Resort in Indiana? Really nice Donald Ross Resort. Golf courses. You ever been down there?
Never been there.
Have you?
Awesome. Never been there.
Awesome place.
Beautiful place.
Awesome place.
Is it?
We can get you in. Is the point, Steve?
Yeah.
If you ever want to go, we make a phone call.
We'll get you a discount.
Yeah. That's how much influence we have down there.
Mike
Southern
Sweeney's
Indiana.
The head pro there or what?
No.
Brendan.
Brendan's not the head pro.
He's like the marketing genius of the resort.
Sweeney?
He's kind of their front.
Brendan Sweeney.
Their front guy there. Anyway, Stevie Ray J.
Sorry about that.
How you doing?
I derailed the whole show.
You did.
This
in the first 3 minutes.
Rails anyway. It always has been.
Totally. Yeah. How are things with Hank Haney Golf?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a long time. It's been a long time since I talked to you guys, man.
It has too long, my friend. Too long.
You know, I kept calling you. I kept calling you. Just kept going to voicemail.
We wouldn't take
your call. I'm usually on. Golf Talk America
every week.
I'm usually on every week, and I kept calling, and no one answered.
Yeah.
I was. I heard through the grapevine that I was persona non grata.
Yeah.
For a while there.
Not by us.
It actually is just that we had Laura on instead of you most of the time. And other people.
Who is that?
Had a lot of people on there. Yeah, we had a lot of people. We said we're going to have Steve on, and Laura says, who's Steve?
Yeah.
She's like, who's this Steve guy? Why are you having Steve on? That's a very good point. What have you been up to?
To answer your question, Hank Haney Golf has been doing great this winter. I mean, we've had a great winter here in Dallas, Texas, because you know, we've lucked out, and we've had some really nice temperatures here. It's raining right now, but this weekend was beautiful.
Yeah, was nice. So lessons are in full bloom.
Go ahead. We're analyzing a lot of videos.
You got everything.
We're analyzing. You know, we can tell we've been out of practice.
We have
usually
been.
Tim and I don't step all over each other.
Well, you blew that one.
Well, I know. Sorry about that, Tim. I'm out of step.
Now that you brought it up, though, now that you brought it up, tell people. We'll say later in the show too, but tell people how they can send a video to you if they want to do.
Well, you asked me. I was trying to answer your question about how Hank Haney Golf has been doing, and we've been answering a bunch since Hank started his podcast, Hank Haney Podcast. We've had so many people send in videos, down the line videos. You just take your mobile device, shoot a video down the line, tell us what your big miss is, and within 24 hours, we send you back a start of a great game plan. Some of the people end up coming for the Hank Haney one-on-one golf schools, too, and we can give you information on that. But golfschools@hankhaney.com, and it's free. It's an absolute free service that we provide, and we're providing all Golf Talk America listeners with that same free service. So
there you go.
Thank you very much.
Very nice. Thank you very much. That is
there. You're welcome.
It's very
you're
helpful.
Welcome.
Yeah. Hey, okay, we're talking golf instruction. I have a real quick question before we get into the meat of the show. And so if you take, Steve, and you're a guru on all this stuff, take a Titleist TS2, okay, 9.5, really a 9.3, and put a Basara E42X5CT regular flex shaft in it, okay?
Uh-huh.
Light shaft. I'm hitting the ball high as hell. And I'm getting maybe 230 out of it.
Really?
I'm skying everything with this shaft.
Where are you hitting? You check and see where you're hitting it on the club face. Are you hitting it high on the club face or right in the sweet spot? Where are you hitting it?
Well, actually pretty close to the sweet spot, right on it almost. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's just.
It really depends on the athlete at the end of the club is basically what it depends on.
Yeah.
You know, it's a combination of swing speed, your angle of approach. 9.3 degrees loft is not a lot of loft on a club face. The way the manufacturers are building clubs now, they're actually building more loft into the clubs with less spin. So you've got a club, I mean, it's a new club, a club that has a low, I mean, pretty by the standards, pretty low loft. And if it's getting up in the air, it's probably spinning too much, too.
Right? Yeah, it is. It's spinning.
I tell you what you need to do. You need to go. There's a club champion in your area. Go to Club Champion and get a club fitting, and they will dial you in with the right shaft, the right length, the right head, the right combination. Because a lot of those drivers can be dialed in, like you said, 9.3 degrees. Someone has messed with that that loft on the face. So
Titleist.
Go to the professionals. Yeah. Go to the professionals. They can find the combination of shaft, grip, length, club head, so you can get the most out of your game.
Yeah, I got to do that. I really do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is costing me. I was playing with Ryan Ballingy the other day, and you know Ballingy, Golf Newsnet, right? Ballingy hits the ball about 325 every time he touches it, just as an easy swing for him. So I was just demoralized after 18 holes with that guy. I was like, I'm ready to quit.
Okay, let's make a pledge for the rest of this podcast, okay?
Yeah.
Let's only
I know
talk
exactly
about
what he's going to say.
Let's only talk about people that our listeners have an idea of who these people are, okay?
Trump.
There you go. There you go.
Trump.
There's
Bernie.
One. There's one name.
Bernie.
We can do that. We can do that.
Well, how about, let me give
Steve
let me
doesn't
want to
be bogged down. But
let
by
me
the common
out
man,
there.
Tiger.
Okay. I'm sure all of our listeners have heard of this name, Jordan Spieth. How about Jordan Spieth this last week
what
at the AT&T
Pebble
Beach?
What a hell of a round on Sunday! Great comeback on Sunday.
Wow.
Okay, Steve, here we go. So here's what I'll ask you about. Here's the question. Obviously, the final round we're talking about too, but had a great final round, a fairly average first three rounds. But does that one round get him in a frame of mind? He's going to play this week at Genesis. He's one of the guys on Tiger's list. Will it translate, or will it just be another middle of the pack? He'll finish tie for 25th again, because he's had a few decent in the last 2 years tournaments like this one, top tens, but they haven't led to any victories. Will it be any different next week because of what he did at Pebble Beach on Sunday?
Well, you know, when we look at this last event, Tim, you know, it was Jordan Spieth top 10. It's a backdoor top 10. He barely made the cut. He was right on the number. He was minus three after three rounds. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Barely made the cut and shot the lowest score by, Maverick McNealy shot four under at Pebble Beach the last round.
Yeah.
And
by one. Right.
And Jordan Spieth shot 5 under. But other than that, everybody else, I mean, gosh, guys that were playing really well.
Day was 74.
Yeah, I mean, gosh darn.
Yeah, a lot of guys were booming. Yeah.
You know, Phil plus two. That's saying a lot. Now, I read an article yesterday that somebody close that is in the Spieth camp is claiming that Spieth is very, very close to really breaking out. Okay. I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if I believe, but, you know, yeah. Hey, the guy did shoot 67 the last round of the AT&T. That's one of his best finishes in a few years, you know. I mean, not a lot of bogeys.
I will say this too. He chipped in for his final 67, which, by the way, and everybody probably knows this, but Frank and Steve, I'm sure you do, it also moved him back inside the top 50 to right at 49 world rankings, which seems crazy that we're talking Jordan Spieth not even being a top 50 player, but it did move him, and he chipped in for his final hole and his final shot to get a par on number 9, which was his final hole. So some cool drama, at least in that, and it got him into the WGC, the Mexico tournament coming up and everything else. So maybe, you know, but there seems like, I guess I'm trying to get into your head, Steve, as far as how pro golfers think. Does some little thing like that, can it twitch and turn something inside that goes, wow, that one final hole, the one final round can suddenly turn it around? Or is it a bigger problem for Jordan Spieth and he still has to fix his driver problems and knowing if it's going left or right or whatever, and that one round won't solve that?
Well, I mean, it's got to be a positive for him, Tim. You know, I really don't know where he is mentally. He doesn't have a lot of success. You know, I mean, he hadn't been playing that well. Hadn't played many tournaments. You know, the premier players, the season has just really started. You know, I mean, not many of the guys go to Hawaii. Obviously, he wasn't in the Tournament of Champions. He's getting into the meat of his season, and he's got to find something here pretty quick because he better hang on this next month. They've got the PGA Championship and then Augusta and then U.S. Open, then the Open Championship and then the playoffs. I mean, he's got a roller coaster coming up. I really don't know. I mean, somebody asked me the other day about, do I think that he is about to change teachers? And I just really do not think there's different mindsets that players have, Tim. Yeah. Tiger Woods sees himself as a child of destiny. He's got somebody that's going to figure it out. And these instructors cross his path and share some information from him. But you know what? He figures he was going to figure it out anyway. At some point, he was going to be able to figure it out. Those guys were just the messenger at the time. He appreciated it, but he feels no loyalty to them. You know, it's what have you done for me lately? When I get as much as I think you can offer, I'm down the road. He wants to be in charge of his own destiny. Now you got a guy like Jordan Spieth who's had the same teacher since he was a junior golfer here in Dallas. He's had a lot of success with that teacher. He has a caddy. He has a personal training team. He has his agent. They are all an integral part of his team. And I just do not see Jordan Spieth switching. I think he goes the distance with this coach that he has, unless the coach decides to bring some other expert in. But I always think that Cameron will be the voice that Jordan listens to. He's just that type of person. He's got a strong will, and that's one of the things that makes him such a great, you know, could be a great champion. I think he's the most important player, U.S. player, that's in his 20s right now. Jordan Spieth is the most important because I see him as the next Arnold Palmer, but he's got to get his game back in shape in order to accomplish that. So
hey Frank, I'm curious. I want to ask Frank if I could, Steve, if I interrupt Frank, how do you look at it? Obviously he and McCormick have done very, very well together. It's kind of more the driver of the car than Cameron telling him what gears to shift into. He can tell him and say all that stuff, but ultimately, like any sport, you got coaching, it still comes down to the players completing the pass, hitting the baseball, whatever they have to do. The players have to do it. Jordan and McCormick have had a lot of success, won majors and everything else. Doesn't Jordan ultimately, whoever's in his voice in his head, still have to do it himself to figure it out?
Yeah, I think you're right there, and I think it's believability too. I mean, the relationship that Cameron McCormick and Jordan Spieth have is incredibly strong. And the belief, if the player, and Steve could speak to this much better than I, but if the player believes what he's hearing and he's tried it and it's worked before, why not make it work again? The question I would have for Steve and you is Cameron McCormick so uber conservative that he won't bring somebody else in, or he won't get some outside advice? And we're trying to second guess his brain here, but I would think that if I were on Jordan's team, and Jordan is incredibly loyal, which is good, if I were on his team, I'd be wanting some outside advice. Let's look at it from every angle, from the rear, left, right, and front, and let's see what's going on here. You know, I don't know. What do y'all think?
Timmy, what do you think?
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I mean,
I think what I just said, which is...
Here we go. Tim, we are totally out of practice, Tim. You go first, Tim. You go first.
Ready, fire, aim.
There's just too much of a delay. There's like a five-second delay, so it's like every time there's a... Anyway, I'll talk. Okay,
well,
so
Frank,
what I think
like
it is...
Frank is typing a letter. Who's typing a letter over there?
What's that? Nobody.
Somebody's on the internet. Somebody's doing...
Probably sitting at a cable.
Who's tapping? Who's typing?
Not me.
Did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed or something, Johnson?
Man.
Fell out of the bed. God, you're just ragging on everybody here today.
Okay, who's on the keyboard right now?
Nobody. Nobody. I don't hear anything.
Can you hear something?
Somebody, either somebody's on the keyboard or somebody's typing out a coded message for me. Abort this podcast.
That might be it.
Russian hackers.
Tim, go ahead. Tim, I really want to hear your answer.
I forgot what I said.
Seriously. I was saying that I think Jordan Spieth has to figure it out, just like anybody, any athlete has to finally figure it out. You can coach all you want, up and down, back and forth. And Bill Belichick, certainly in a different sport, can be credited with a lot of success. But it's more a strategy. To me, the coaching is, and you and Hank would speak to this, even when Tiger, you're working with Tiger, about course management things. I get that part. But when it comes to hitting the shot, you or Hank or anybody else or Bill Belichick can't throw the football. You can't hit the shot for Tiger. They ultimately have to be able to be the ones who coordinate that, to figure it out, to get their stance right and their feel right. And I think Jordan gets it figured out every tournament for one round. He very rarely, you know, rarely shoot 78, 72. We're not looking at a Stephen Bowditch situation, right? If you want to bring up somebody who has completely kind of fallen and couldn't make cuts or do anything else. Jordan's not there. He still can shoot a 68 in the first round and come back with a 69 and make the cut. But then the weekends, he shoots par or two over, one over, and finishes again, tied for 28th or something like that. So I think he knows he's got the game. There's something in his head that he's having a problem with. It was good to see it on Sunday that he played well, because Sunday – and Saturdays have been his big problem. The fact that he could, as you said, Steve, backdoor into a top 10, he still did it, and it was in a tough, tough conditions. The winds were blowing, as you guys remember seeing on Sunday, 20 and 30, they said close to 40 miles an hour on some of those holes at Pebble Beach. And maybe it's his Texas connections and growing up or whatever. He handled the wind great and shot a 67 when he was a good 4, 5, 6 shots better than a lot of those other guys. So problem was he was too far back. So I think he can figure it out. I'm waiting for it to happen. We all are, and so far it hasn't.
Did the backsliding of Jordan Spieth not start, guys, when he, you know, after that Hall of Fame season, one season Hall of Fame, right? Did it not start when he started going, I need to be longer. I've got to get some more yardage out of this club, out of this body. Didn't this start with that?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, there were two things. During that, 2015, he had his greatest season ever. He won five times. 2017 was the last time he won. He won the Open Championship remember, my favorite player, El Chipo Nogimi, Matt Kuchar. But, I mean, since 2017, his putting at first was not very good, and they wanted they had two projects that were going. We got to get the putting back. It was an alignment issue is what they diagnosed it at. Hank and I kept saying it was the putting yips. His short putting is still not that great. His lag putting has gotten a lot better. His training regimen, man, I tell you what, he is lean and mean. Troy Van Beezen's doing a heck of a job. They say they have a hard time keeping enough weight on him. He's so lean and he's muscular. If you look at his website and you can see some of the workouts that he does, a lot of functional training, you got to have some distance to be a competitor long-term on the PGA Tour. I mean, just ask Colt Knost, you know, I mean, he retired a couple weeks ago, struggled with some injuries. I mean, a phenomenal player, just not a real long hitter. He had to pick his spots. The only way you can compete every week is if you have the speed and the distance to play all the courses.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like Hank says, hey, I'm going to be a lot better with a 9-iron than I am with a 6-iron. So if I can send that ball farther off the tee, I may hit it farther in the rough, but it's a lot easier to hit a wedge out of the rough than it is to hit a 6-iron out of the rough. So distance is important. Just ask Phil Mickelson. You know, I mean, he's as long as he's ever been. Now, Frank, you said something, and I want to correct the adjective that you used.
Okay.
You said that Cameron McCormick may be too conservative, is what you said. Conservative. Let's say protective.
Protective.
Protective. He's got to protect his turf. And when Jordan Spieth came out on the tour, Cameron, if he did go to a tournament, he would go for Monday, Tuesday, get him warmed up, and then come back. A lot of the tournaments he never even went to. And Jordan Spieth was doing really well. And I asked Hank about it. I said, well, hey, if you were coaching Jordan Spieth, wouldn't you be going to the tournaments? And he said, you know, they seem to be doing pretty well, you know. And then the things turned around. And now all of a sudden, Cameron McCormick is out there almost every week. He needs to protect his turf. He needs to not lose the voice that he has with Jordan Spieth. And he's a very confident guy. He's a guy that he has a pretty strong will too. I think a lot of his teaching techniques, he's got a lot of students. Now, a lot of his students are not doing very well right now. He's got some LPGA students. He's got some guys on the mini tour and some college kids that are not doing that well right now. So, you know, he's got his hands full. And if I were him, I'd focus on your premier player. He's got to focus mostly on Jordan Spieth. Now, let me correct Tim. This is an equal opportunity podcast. I want to correct Tim here.
What'd I do?
Oh, God. There's a list. Go ahead.
When you go to work out, you have a trainer. Yes. You have a trainer that tells you, I mean, these exercises are not rocket science, but you have a trainer that kind of sets you up with a program, make sure that you're using proper form so you don't injure yourself. There's a difference between feel and real. And Brandel Chambly is under the impression that a lot of these pros just need to dig it out of the dirt for themselves. It's one of the reasons Tiger Woods has always had a coach behind him until recently, is because there's a huge difference between what you're feeling and what is really happening. And you need to get that input. Even if you're dictating what the program is as the player, and you've got to execute the shots, you need to have accurate, immediate feedback on what you're doing. You can't say, hey, I think I was aiming over there. The teacher can say, no, that's right where you're aiming. And that gives you better, that gives you much better feedback, and feedback that you can actually be confident in, that you can make the changes, appropriate changes, so you don't head down the dead end roads, you know? So I think that's all the inconsistencies and mistakes that you guys made in your
corrections
comments.
That need to be made. Yeah.
Okay, well, great. Now that we're on a roll,
we're joined
bad
by
about
Steve
people.
Johnson.
Hey, let's talk about Phil for a
Give
minute.
Give us all the insight.
He went from Michelangelo on Saturday. I mean, he was like Michelangelo, painting beautiful pictures, sculpting gorgeous shots, to what I called Godzilla on Sunday. And I'm not talking about the wind and some of the shorter shots on the par threes and approaches where he dumped it into the bunker or right or left. But I'm talking about some of his just clean wedge play around the green that was just horrendous. How do you go from Michelangelo to Godzilla?
You know, I mean, the commentators were talking about it. A lot of the analysts were questioning what he was hitting off the tee. You know, on some of the hole, like the second hole, and the third hole, Phil Mickelson hit a driver, and it put him so close to the green where he couldn't spin the ball enough to control the distance the ball was traveling. So, I mean, there may have been some strategic errors. It's hard to believe I'm saying that because Phil Mickelson typically has a really good game plan. It looked like he was just trying to get the ball as close as he could to the green and leave it up to his short game. He put the ball in some really ticklish positions, you know, long fairway bunker shots that he had. On the third hole, he had a shot that was like 60 yards away. He mishit it. It hit on the rough, and it bounced onto the green. I mean, you think, man, if he would have had a wedge in his hand, he could have flown that right to the hole and had about a, you know, 10-foot birdie opportunity. It just goes to show you guys, when the wheels start falling off, it is really difficult to reset and to, you know, I mean, he made three birdies early in the
yeah.
first six holes.
Yeah.
And then hole number eight was a tough hole for him. He picked a club that he had to hit really well off the tee, and he missed it a little bit. He had 240-something yards on his second shot over half of the Monterey Bay. Ended up making double bogey exactly. on that hole. And then, you know what? Made bogey on nine, which nine, is two
nine
tough
was
holes.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yep. It was bad. Yeah. I mean, it was interesting. We're talking, of course, with Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf, and we're talking about what happened at Pebble Beach with a couple of guys, Spieth and Mickelson. But I want to, if I could, and we can come back to this if somebody else had something else to say about that, but the Genesis Invitational is coming up this week at Riviera, the Invitational. Mm-hmm. We're going to see Tiger. We're going to see a lot of great, great golfers. But one that I'm intrigued by, and I'm curious what both of you guys think, about seeing Brooks Koepka. Doesn't that seem like a name we haven't even talked about in months and months?
Absolutely. What do you think about Koepka's debut, Frank?
I don't know.
Don't care?
That's great.
I don't know.
I left him speechless.
Could you act like you care, Frank?
You know my feelings about some of that stuff. But
What are your feelings about Koepka? Let us know. I haven't talked to you in so long. What are you thinking?
Well, you know, I hope he's healthy, which I'm sure he is, or he wouldn't be coming back. Correct? Correct. Koepka is a horse. I mean, he is just a horse. He's a winner. He's competitive as hell when he wants to be. That's my only criticism of Brooks, and far be it for me to criticize these guys. Jesus, I can't, you know, get anywhere close to these guys and even thinking. But he just, it seems like he can be focused, and then he just doesn't care. And so is that good for golf? Is that good for kids to see? I don't know. I just want somebody who's out there.
It's a fair thought.
With the pedal to the floorboard and go get them, like Tiger did. He's there to win, there to win, there to win. I don't think Brooks is there to win every time he goes out and plays. I think he kind of goes, well, okay, I'm, you know, 10 back, whatever. I'm not playing well, so I'll just get this over with and get out of here. I mean, that's just my thought.
Wow. Well, he's no longer the world's number one ranked player.
No, he isn't.
Rory McIlroy overtook him last week. Both of the guys took the week off, and Rory, because of the way they do the scoring and the rounds that fall off the last 40,
right.
You know, he's now number two, and it's packed pretty tight up there at the top.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's something I think that means something to Brooks. I mean, he likes being that ranking, and, you know, I just don't know. It's been so long since we've seen him, Frank and Tim. This is a great course for him. It was typically back in the day when the ball went a lot shorter. It was one of the longer courses. I think it was a par 71.
Mm-hmm.
And tough conditions. It's a local knowledge golf course. The Kikuyu grass, this type of grass that is really wiry, and the ball sits. Looks like it's sitting up, but it's hard to hit it solid. The greens are Poana, which can be bumpy. Remember, we saw Justin Thomas last year three-putt his way to a second-place finish. Well, he had the tournament in hand last year and ended up not winning, not finishing the deal. But I see a really good field here. It's a smaller field, too. You know, it's an invitational benefiting the Tiger Woods Foundation. You've got TW is teeing it up. Bubba Watson always plays well there. He's teeing it up. Justin Thomas will be there. I mean, you've got a really DJ. Good list. Even Steve Stricker's going to be there.
Yeah, well, it's Tiger's buddy. Here are two names that will not be there. Two names that will not be there.
Okay.
Costas and McCord. Yeah. You know, we talked about Pebble last week and what was going on with some of the players and their swings and this. Peter Costas, who better to be on course to be able to talk about the swing than Peter Costas? I mean, nothing against Faldo and everybody else, but they don't have the analytic eye that Peter Costas has. And as far as the new team, and I just want to throw this out there for whatever, you know, Davis Love's one of the nicest guys on the face of the earth. Known him forever. My dad and his dad were good buddies. I mean, but it's a little plain out there on the course. And then Mark Immelman, who's been a colleague of ours for a long time. Okay, Mark has some funny sayings in that, but Costas and McCord are gone? I don't know. Old media,
Tim,
new media?
Tim, that's in your wheelhouse, Tim. Well, what do you think about that?
Throw that over the transom.
Well, we talked about it, but I want to hear what you think too, Steve. But I will answer in that. Yeah, I mean, broadcasting is what I do. But I'll say this: they're obviously trying to get a little bit younger. Now they didn't get considerably younger because Davis Love is not like he's 36 years old or anything like that. But Immelman is certainly younger, and I get that at some point you've got to bring in a younger crowd. And you look at the announcers, and whether it's Vern Lundquist or even Nance and Fowler, everybody's 50 plus or even 60 plus. That's a big part of it, and you can't really say that in a why we're changing, because there's discrimination rules and laws and all that stuff. But that certainly is a part of what's going on. I get the Costas part, I think, a little bit. I don't even know if you're Peter Costas, and I don't know his age, but he's got to be mid-late 60s. That's a lot of walking. I mean, he's out on the golf course. The other guys are up in a tower. It's one thing, but that, I don't know how much longer you want to keep a guy that's pushing 70 walking out on the golf course even. But having said that, I liked what he added to the broadcast, and I didn't see any difference. McCord was the kind of the oddball guy, right, that was always trying to be funny and whatnot. Sometimes he forced the humor, and it wasn't as funny, and he tried to top himself the next time he came on and all that. But it was still entertaining. No, I don't. And Frank's point about Davis Love, I don't see a lot of entertainment value. Davis is still trying to learn the ropes, and maybe he's trying to get comfortable, but I'm not entertained by him. And yes, I guess I'm somewhat informed, but he's very dry, and I don't think you'd expect anything different. His whole career, he's a very dry personality. Nothing about his golf, but as far as broadcasting, there's two different fields there, right? You can say, well, this guy had all kinds of majors. This guy did all – that's one thing. But broadcasting, talking, getting people engaged is a whole different skill set. So I have a problem with networks when they kind of think, what's the guy's credentials? And he's like, well, he's a Hall of Fame football. Well, then – put him on Monday Night Football. Well, that doesn't make him a good broadcaster because he caught a lot of passes or threw a lot of touchdowns. So I think it's the same way with golf or anything else. And so far, I'm not dazzled by the change that they made. And we'll see. They're not going to go backwards, but I'm not overly enthralled with it. What do you think, Steve? When you watch golf right now, do you miss Costas and McCord, or is it better the way it is now?
No, I thought Peter Costas had his place there. He's a guy that's a teacher. There's not many broadcast teams that feature a teacher out there that's actually analyzing swings and analyzing decisions and things like that. Not only is he a teacher, he's a damn good teacher. And he's out there, like you say, Tim, he's not just walking around the course. He has, if you've ever seen him at a tournament, he has a backpack that he has a television monitor attached to him on the front.
On his chest.
Then he has a headset, and then he has the microphone. I mean, he is like... he's like Saving Private Ryan. I mean, he's like, I'm not kidding.
He's going to battle. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true.
But he has a unique skill set where he can really analyze, and he's got a great personality. Tiger Woods saw Davis Love III at the first tournament, at the Farmers Insurance Open, Tiger's first tournament. And he saw him, and Davis Love had the Peter Costas apparatus on. He had the television hooked onto the front of him. He had a... And Tiger looked at him and said, "What in the world are you doing?" And I would say the same thing. I mean, Davis Love's a Hall of Fame player. I mean, he has a unique skill set to be able to tell us, the viewer, this is what had gone through my mind when I was in his position. This is a trick to this hole that he may not see, this rookie may not see, whatever the insights are. I mean, Lee Trevino was great at it. There's many, many people that have been great at that. Johnny Miller was great at it, although I didn't really like Johnny Miller that much. I mean, the reviews on Johnny Miller were, you know, he would be very well, very poorly missed. But there was a big training session that they had for Davis Love here with Lance Barrow in Fort Worth about 2 weeks before they were supposed to start. It was actually sometime early in the winter, before Christmas. This is his big training camp where Lance Barrow was going to to whip him into shape. And I was anxiously wanting to see what would happen, because Davis Love is a very soft-spoken guy. He may have a great personality, but he is super soft-spoken. He will not speak unless spoken to. I mean, he's not a kind of guy that's just going to throw stuff out there. And to be in the position that he's in right now, I read an article this last week that's the title of the article was "Too Much Vanilla." There was a lot of the same lines as what you were talking about, Frank. The personalities that used to be there are replaced by vanilla, and it's not too great to watch. I mean, I'd rather listen to something else and watch the tournament. I mean, I tell you what, the tournament this week with Pebble Beach, the way it was looking and clear skies and all that, and Phil Mickelson up in the at the top of the leaderboard, should have been a big ratings weekend. I'm not sure exactly what the ratings ended up being. The PGA Tour ratings have been down, by the way.
That's a subject for another show that I really want to get into with you, Steve, and Tim, too, is the Premier Golf League. Not for today, but...
Ooh, okay. Well, let me throw out a little nugget here for you, Frank. I know how you love numbers.
I do.
Let me throw a nugget out for you. The final round of the Waste Management Phoenix Open was down 30%. The ratings were down 30%. On Saturday, when they had the big gallery out there, the 200,000 and 300,000 people out there, ratings were down like 16%. I can't explain it. I mean, the Super Bowl was that evening.
Let me just throw this in there, Steve. Super Bowl did play a factor, though. Even if it was that evening, you're still kind of going head-to-head with it. And there's 6 hours of pregame into the Super Bowl.
That's
so it's not about the
say,
kickoff
Tim.
Of the game.
Tim. I had NFL Network all day on one
Tim, so that's please, certainly part Tim. Of the reason. That's part of the reason.
Tim,
yeah,
please.
That's part of the reason that the Raiders would be down. No, I'm right. Tim. I'm right on this, Steve. I'm right on this. Yeah, go ahead.
Tim.
Try to talk. Go ahead.
The Waste Management Phoenix Open is always the Sunday of the Super Bowl. Always.
Yeah. Yes.
So last year, 30% down from last year.
That's
You're saying
crazy numbers.
Are you telling me that the pregame was so much better this year, 6 hours before?
Well,
and
you didn't know.
He's got a good point, Tim. I think Steve's right.
He does have a good point. It's one of the few that he has, but it's a good point. But it's I'm saying that every game is
no personal attacks.
Every
Tim.
Super Bowl.
Come on.
Jeez. I'm telling you.
I am coming at you with everything.
Well, we'll talk about
this. I'm just
this.
Saying that every Super Bowl is a little bit different. That's all I'm going to say is this year might have been more
Shakira.
Who's going to win is Mahomes. So that there still could have been a bigger pregame interest and people who turned away from golf. It goes year by year depending on what the Super Bowl is. I'm just saying Super Bowl does have a factor and it can change from year to year.
Yeah,
depending
but 30%
on
is a big
the
number.
Teams.
That's an enormous number.
But having said that, I was just going to say to you guys that Phoenix is a good example, not from the broadcast, but from going back to the Davis Love and the excitement part. I think golf has to get more, and we talked about this last week, Frank, more Phoenix Open-ish.
Yep.
So whether it's the Byron Nelson or any tournaments, I'm not saying they all have to be one giant party, but if you're going to get, going back to the original thought about it being a younger crowd, if you're going to appeal to a younger crowd, you've got to have that fun. If you look in the crowd there, especially on 16 at Phoenix, it's a lot of 40 and younger people that are hanging out there and having their party. If that's who you're trying to attract and that's the new golfers that are coming into the game and going to watch the game and listen to the game and all that stuff, then you got to do something other than dull broadcast.
Here's another shot.
Everybody be quiet. Everybody be silent. You got to change it.
Here it is. Since the PGA Tour was formed out of the PGA of America, when Nicklaus and Palmer and they all got together and said, we're going to do this, they haven't changed their business plan. It really hasn't changed. Their business plan was always based on sponsorship money and TV money. Where is it today? Sponsorship money and TV money. The World Golf Championships were born out of that fear that they had when Norman said, we need a World Golf League. So that was kind of born out of that. So not an original idea has really come out of Pontevedra outside of...
Well, I mean, it's coming, though, Frank. It's coming because the big initiative, you know, after that ruling in New Jersey is gambling and sports. You know,
yep.
The fun fact is that golf is the number two bet sport in Vegas, which is hard to believe. I mean, next to football, yeah. It's football then golf, greater than hockey, greater than basketball, greater than college sports. Unbelievable. It's golf. And so I think that's the next wave. That's part of the PGA Tour.
Shot link data.
That's part of their plan.
Shot
is, hey,
data.
You know what? We're gonna tap into this revenue stream because we want people not only gambling on television through online, we want them at the site gambling.
Yeah.
And billions of dollars. Billions.
Well, I can see it right now. Okay. The sports book it'll be a venue at every PGA Tour tournament going forward. They're going to have a sports book tent, pavilion. They're going to have
to.
Can they get away with that based on laws in the different states and cities? I don't know. But if anybody can make the changes
you can go in and make your bets.
In Nevada, you can.
Right there. Like have your sports, like have a sports book in
don't
a tent
you,
on the venue
don't
site.
Don't you
right
think
there.
That the people from Steve Wynn and Caesars and all those big players and gambling are sitting around having meetings right now with the PGA Tour talking about, okay, how do we take this to the next level of venue betting, venue gambling?
Could be. Yeah.
Even if it's like at our country club. Right? When we do casino night and it's just for gifts and things. Think about Amazon sponsoring the sports book with gifts. Think about that. How many sponsors would jump in and give away books and iPads and all sorts of crap? They just will. That would be a fun
venue. Tour's got a big meeting next week with Tony Soprano, I heard. So you're right. I think it's right around the corner. Hey, Steve, before we let you go, we wrap these things up. I do one last thing I want to ask you about, and that is the USGA's announcement recently about manufacturing and clubs and reducing the length of the ball, the clubs, whatever it might be, because they say it's getting out of control, and everybody can't keep adding 100 yards and 100 yards and 500 yards to their golf courses. How you feel about that? We talked last week with Art Selinger. He said before you have to mess with equipment or anything, you could just slow the course down and stop putting – greens instead of fairways out there so that the ball runs 70 yards every time you hit it. He said there are agronomy, there's different ways you could slow it down so that they're not hitting it so far before you worry about the ball and the club head speed. I mean, the club manufacturers. I'm just curious what your thoughts are on changing any of that stuff for the upcoming years.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a couple different issues there, Tim. One, I mean, I agree with Art. There are things that they can do. High rough, you know, soft fairways, tough greens, firm and fast, like they do in the majors. But I mean, the whole tagline for the PGA Tour used to be these guys are good. And now what is it? Something about live under par is what the deal is. So, I mean, they're trying to accentuate the guys at the skill that these guys have. They don't want to take the representation that they have of the skill and the distance and all that stuff, the superhuman, shots that they hit. They don't want to take that away from the player. But the USGA, on the other hand, this is big Mike Davis's big initiative before he leaves office. He said that he's going to roll the ball back. The good news is the USGA moves at snail's pace. So the USGA, I mean, this is,
that,
I mean, it took 2 years on this distance. What is it? I've got the report here. It's the distance, what do they call it? Initiative. You know what? The bottom line is your regular golfer, your average 21 handicap, 16 handicap is actually hitting the ball shorter. Now.
Can't compress it.
They're hitting it shorter. The only guys that are hitting it longer are the very top of the top 0.1% of professional golfers are hitting it farther now than they used to. If it's really at a reckoning for the USGA, is what are you trying to regulate the top pros, and at the same time you're going to be penalizing your average player? There's nobody that says that we play with, Tim and Frank, that say they hit it too far. I mean, nobody. Everyone that we're playing with wishes they could hit it a little bit farther because it would be more fun.
Here's a quick question, Steve. Pro V1, Titleist AVX. What's the distance difference in those two balls? Come on, for an average player, for a player like me who has a slow swing speed, not a lot of ball speed, you know, average 227 to 240 drive at best.
Probably zero.
Yeah,
zero difference. Yeah. But you know what? The one you pick, Frank, the one that you're going to play with,
this is the one that feels the best to me.
Is the one that you get for free.
Well,
that's the only the one you get for
AVX.
Free. That's the only way to do it, man.
All those Titleist balls free. Maybe not anymore. I don't know. We'll see. Hey, tell us this before we get out of here. And we've got a lot of soup to eat in the next show. I really want to get Steve back on quickly and talk about Premier Golf League, talk about the ball, talk about the USGA, and Badmouth Far Hills, whatever we want to do. No, I'm kidding with that. But what's going on with Hank Haney's podcast? You and Hank are doing the podcast now. We kind of call you a sister show with Golf Talk America.
Right.
Where do
right.
we go to hear it? How do we hear it?
Well, you could go to your favorite podcast provider. You can just type in Hank Haney podcast, and you can get it on Stitcher, on iHeart. iHeart sponsors the podcast. It's very easy to get. You can punch in there. You follow it, and every episode we broadcast, believe it or not, guys, 7 days a week.
Wow.
7 days a week. Now, I'm just a guest on there. I'm not a co-host. Hank made it very clear that I could be a guest, but he wasn't going to put himself in a position.
What?
Yeah. Oh,
what's
no.
The matter
he wasn't
going to
put himself in a position where I was considered a co-host.
Oh.
I was just a guest. So I go on maybe twice a week.
You're
now, on Saturday, we have the Saturday Strong edition that Minnesota Tim Porochka and myself are doing the podcast solo. So we get a lot of great opinions there, and it's a lot of fun. And it's a Hank Haney podcast. Just type it in to your favorite, what do you call that? Your platform, your favorite platform.
Your favorite digital
and
platform.
You get it.
Yeah,
sure. Exactly.
iTunes,
exactly.
TuneIn, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Amazon Alexa. You can probably get it that way, like you get Golf Talk America on all those too. So, yeah. Well, good. How about Voodoo
Very
Pain
nice.
Cream? You still doing that?
Voodoo Pain. Oh, yeah. You know what? They've got a 2-week free supply right now. If you haven't used, if you haven't tried Voodoo Pain Relief Cream, get on voodoopainreliefcream.com. And, you know, I'm pretty skeptical. And, Tim, I know you're skeptical, too. And I'm thinking, okay, what's the trick here? Well, you get on the website, and you click the offer, and it says type in the code. You type in the discount code, and you know what? The PayPal goes to $0. Zero.
You got to love that.
You get a 2-week free supply. If you've never tried it before, everyone has aches and pains. I know I do. And it has 11 anti-inflammatories. It's a patented formula. And, you know, I mean, Hank has tried everything. You know the challenges Hank's had with his orthopedics. He's just got two new knee replacements. He's had hip surgery, back surgery, shoulder surgery. I mean, he has a heart of a lion, but he's got a body of a
a broken down body.
Yeah, body not good. But,
like that commercial with a guy taking off all the body.
He's tried everything, and this. I mean, you know, the reason he got associated with it is because you know what? He tried it and it worked, and he gets more joy out of helping someone relieve chronic pain or inflammation than he does fixing their golf swing. And you know how much joy he gets out of fixing somebody's golf swing. So.
Thanks
for asking about that, Frank. Free 2-week supply, voodoopainrelief.com. Get on there and try it.
Cool beans. Well, we love the show that you do, and Hank does, and hopefully we'll be doing more stuff together in the future.
That sounds great. Now, can I give you one little tidbit? Because I know you want to talk about that Premier Golf League.
I do.
Let me give you a tidbit so you can do a little research. There's a company that put $240 million for the prize money for that tour. The group is called the Rain Group, R-A-I-N-E Group. Do you know that? You've heard of that, Frank?
Yes, yes.
You know what they invest in? It's an investment group. It's a hedge fund.
Yeah.
They invest in a lot of online gaming.
Yes.
They're one of their big investments.
Yes.
Listen, here it comes. DraftKings is one of their big investments. Yeah. So I see if you don't think gambling is going to be isn't going to be a part of golf, man, you have got you're in for a rude awakening because
and we have just the guys to put on the air to talk about that during the Masters.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We won't say any names, but we have friends that are from Jersey.
Yeah. But you're right. You're right about that, Steve, because it's changed everything from NBA. Once the door was open, and everybody knew this, once the door was open, not only do you see an NFL team going to Las Vegas, an NHL already been in Las Vegas, that door opened a few years ago of, we can't put a team in Vegas, can't do that. Now that opened, and then they opened it up to NBA, everything else being okay to gamble. And the owners and the people who controlled sports looked at it and said, well, there's a revenue stream that's going to be crazy, but we haven't tapped into. And that always, as we all know, makes the ball roll even farther. That people are going, well, there's the new world. And you're exactly right, Steve. Once you get into gambling and people say, so you're talking about billions of – it gets everybody's attention who might have thought, I don't want to go that way. Now they're like, we can do that. So, yeah, it's going to be –
We'll talk about
that next time we have you on,
Steve. Think about the handicapping. This is something else we can talk about is – you know, shot link data, that's all there, baby. It's been there for a long time, and that is the golden egg right there of data.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to next time, guys.
It will be. Hey, give Hank our best. Y'all have a great show today and every day.
Thanks a lot, Frank. Thanks, Tim.
All right, buddy.
All right, bye-bye.
Good to see you, Steve. I appreciate your time. There's not going to be another time, Steve, just so you know.
I'll apologize to you, Tim. Off the air, I'll apologize for all the rude things I said.
I wouldn't apologize to him. Not in a second.
We'll pretend to be nice, but this is really the last time you're ever going to be on this show. So have a great week.
Boys.
We appreciate it. Go
see
you, man.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you, Stevie.
Bye.
All right. Steve Johnson, Hank Haney Golf.
That was fun. That was fun. We missed having Steve on, and now he's back. And hopefully
Ready, fire, aim. I mean, he's got his opinions, and he'll throw them out there, and I love that.
And
we have
to say this.
You and I are going to
dinner
tomorrow night.
Are you? Where are you going?
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Somewhere.
Who's buying?
I think McGuire's.
McGuire's.
I think we're going to McGuire's.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, on me.
So as a disclaimer, everything that we say on this show is just our opinion, and we're just having fun with it. But that's what we want our listeners to do, is have fun with this show with us. And that's what it's all about. It's not to hurt anybody. And, you know, our opinions aren't always 100% solid. We can certainly change. Like I talked about Koepka.
But
I like Robert Koepka, his dad, and I like Brooks personally. But, I just have opinions. And, again, if it's right or wrong or indifferent,
it can certainly change. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise we get into that whole vanilla thing that we are complaining about.
Nah, don't want to be. Here's the shout-out. Ray Romano made it
something
from Pebble Beach. Straight off the course, into a tuxedo to the Oscars.
Oh, did he make it?
He made it.
He did.
He did.
Because he talked about that on the air. Remember that
he had to get
play
down
on
there
Sunday but still make it to the Oscars
in
L.A.?
He got there.
Yeah.
was there. And our good friend, Laura Brina, Steve Johnson.
Somewhere
Laura Brina. Laura was at an Oscars party, so we'll have her on to talk about it. She was at one of the big parties. So she's, of course, Hollywood. She has a great new song out, and she'll talk about that, too, on the show with us soon. A great new song on Billboard's Top 100.
Good.
So, anyway, I guess we ought to get out of here. We've been on for a long time. Do you think?
We have been.
Yeah. It's been a fun show.
Oh.
You're exhausted.
This is good. Hey, I am. I'm worn out. I can't even take any more.
Take
us
out of
here. It was so much fun, and we hope everybody enjoyed it as much as we did, and that's, like Frank said, that's what we're here for. To have a good time, talk a little golf, a little sports, a little entertainment. And entertain you guys at the same time. All right, well, that should do it for the show. Thanks again to Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf for joining us and for Frank Bastian. I'm Tim Matthews. Thank you once again, and remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.